When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Happy New Year off, besties, and welcome to another roundup of weird news from around the country presented by the Something Offbeat podcast. Is it okay that I said Happy New Year? Technically, I'm recording this after New Year's Day, and all of our goofy glasses have been disposed of until the 2027 ball drop. Luckily, though, the Dana and Parks team out of KMBZ in Kansas City just weighed in on New Year wishing etiquette.
When do you stop saying Happy New Year?
I think it's acceptable into next week for first-time conversations in the new year.
I think that means I'm good. I'll stand by my Happy New Year greeting. And I'll let Dana and Parks keep rolling with some fun New Year facts.
I think another week.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And it's different from country to country. In the United States, the peak period for saying Happy New Year is December 31st through January 15th. I believe we are we're not the earliest. In China, they start because they have a different period for New Year's. They start in late January and end on February 15th. In Korea, it's the same as the Chinese. Mexico, they stop saying Happy New Year today. And in Russia, they'll say it until January 14th.
Now for our weird news. This week, we've got some expert insight on whether we can make it back to the moon by 2028, a marriage proposal attempt that turned into something straight out of a sitcom, and some stories about sandwiches. Let's kick things off with Tommy Tucker out of Odyssey Station WWL in New Orleans. He interviewed Natalie Hinkle, assistant professor and planetary astrophysicist at Louisiana State University, about President Donald Trump's plans to land on the moon once again before his term is over.
It's not as simple as just loading up the car and taking, making sure everybody's gone to the bathroom beforehand and making sure you got some snacks and the car's full of gas, the oil is changed, etc. What is it going to take to put us back on the moon before the end of President Trump's term?
Yeah, it's a great question. And honestly, it's going to take quite a lot of work. It seems that people are calling into question the various orbiters and like launch vehicles that might actually get the astronauts to the moon. So we're looking specifically at like the Artemis II launch. And they even named recently like the four folks who are going to be going up there. And I'm, of course, extremely excited and jealous. So there's a lot of things that that need to really come together. I mean, right now there's sort of some back and forth about the actual vehicle that's going to get them there. Right now there's been some design for various rockets and various boosters. There's one that's called Starship. There's also some stuff that's coming out of like SpaceX. And the problem is just trying to get everybody tooled up that quickly to make sure that not only is a launch successful, but you can get all the astronauts to the moon safely. And so to do that within 3 years with almost no lead time, I mean, like, you know, there's been some work and some preparation for the actual astronauts, but getting all that technology ready to go in a way that you are absolutely 100% convinced that, like, everybody's going to get there safely and that this will be a success.
And of course
get back. I mean, like, it's a lot. And, you know, we haven't been to the moon since the 70s. So, you know, there's a lot riding on this. And it's, honestly, I think it's more important to make sure that everybody is safe, that they return, than trying to make it in sort of, you know, this very crunch kind of timeline.
So it's not like we have an Apollo command module or a lunar module and some rockets sitting in a garage somewhere, and Grandpa, much like his 75 Gran Torino, and I'm dating myself by saying that, is going to take the cover off and blow the dust off. It's like, oh, she's good. She's ready to go. Let's go. What do we have?
Well, even if you were to do that with your grandfather's Gran Torino, you need to make sure that, you know, there's enough oil and like that everything is like lubed up and ready to go. So like even that you couldn't just take out and be like, we're going to drive it across the country sort of thing. You know, it takes time. But honestly, we don't have anything that's sort of like mothballed and that's able to be used right now. Like that's just all of the shuttles that were available during the Apollo mission. Missions have since actually become museum pieces. Like literally you can go and see them like in Houston and in, you know, various different NASA Center museums. So right now the only options are like, you know, these various rockets and boosters that are actively being developed now. And that's scary because, you know, you want to make sure that everything's going to work the way that you want it to. So one of the options on deck is it's called a space launch system. That was what was used for Artemis 1. But people are actually kind of concerned about it because it's not like as reusable as other rockets that we've seen might be, like that's come out of SpaceX. There's also a Starship that's coming out, but that also has some issues. So like, yeah, things are still kind of being sorted out, and a lot of this has sort of been the push from switching over from a more, you know, government-led program to now privatized. And so it's trying to see, like, who has what and what might be compatible. But even then, you know, there's a lot sort of under the hood that you might not know about. So right now we don't have anything definitive for the moon that can work all the way there and then all the way back. It doesn't mean it can't happen quickly, but it's going to take some time.
We know for certain that one Detroit-area husband-to-be won't be joining any crews headed to the moon. Heights here on Earth are enough to rattle him. Trevor Van Camp dropped the ring he bought for his fiancée 118 feet during his proposal attempt. They were on the Sky Bridge of Boyne Mountain at the time. That's a Michigan ski resort. Van Camp went viral online for this snafu. He and his fiancée, Danielle Jenkins, joined Odyssey station WWJ News Radio's Miranda Richardson to talk all about the incident and the ring recovery adventure that followed.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I kept making comments to him like, you don't want to marry me, just being a smart ass, more or less, to him.
Smart Alec.
Smart Alec, yeah. To him about it, and the only people that knew were my in-laws, my oldest stepson, and a good friend of ours. That was it. So they knew, but not a lot of people knew. So it was very neat. Trevor took me on an adventure and planned everything from start to finish. But yeah, I found the Sky Bridge on TikTok. It just kept popping up on my For You page, and I kept sending it to him just as like a, hey, this would be cool type deal to see in the wintertime, just because I knew the snow and the lights would drown out the heights of it, which Trevor's afraid of heights. And he surprised me with a trip to Boyne.
Maybe Van Camp was afraid of heights because he somehow deep inside knew that this moment was coming.
So you make it to the Sky Bridge. And can you give us just a little play-by-play, you know, Trevor's permission to maybe what he had said?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, basically, long story short, we were going up let me back up a little bit. So, we met a couple before we got on the ski lifts. and just kind of chit-chatted for a minute, this, that, and the other. So I kind of planned to grow a relationship so somebody could get a picture or photo or video or whatever was going on. So we go up the ski lifts. I'm already panicking. I don't like heights. The ski lifts are kind of high, this, that, and the other. They're stopping. They're going. They're freaking me out. So we make it up to the bridge, and we go across, and there is a glass piece that I wanted to do it on, but as I'm watching the people in front of me slip slide across it, I was like, maybe it's not a good idea because of how slippery it is. So we make it past the glass part, and I said to Danielle, I said, I think I'm going to get the couple behind us to get a photo of us. I want a photo while we're up here. And when I took my phone to the lady to get a photo, I whispered in her ear that I was going to propose. Little did I know she was taking a video as I got down on one knee and dropped the ring.
Oh, my goodness. So we actually have footage of the fall?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, so we didn't know she took the video until, I want to say, about an hour and 15 minutes in to digging through the snow with a gentleman named Axel that works at Boyne, who was helping us dig. And I was like, you know what? Let me call your parents, because they knew, obviously, he was proposing and they had helped him get the ring from Kay and whatnot that evening. Because he got my ring the day we left, and it had come in. And so I called his parents. I'm like, I said yes, but we have a malfunction. Explained the story, and his parents were actually at the location of where he had purchased my ring and were on it to get me or figure out the next steps to get me a new ring. And that's when I was like, you know what, let me see like the video or let me see the pictures that she had taken. And then I looked at him and I said, no way. Like, she got it on camera. And yeah, if you look super close to the video that I have, you can see my ring fall straight through the grates that are underneath us.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm picturing you two out there, you know, trying to pinpoint with these two metal detectors. Do you feel like that was your first real test as fiancés?
So, yeah. I mean, we've been through a lot in our lives together. But, yeah, so Trevor actually threw his right glove over the railing before we got off the bridge, because I didn't even finish my our walk across the bridge. I looked at him. I said, I'm not even finishing this. My ring is way too important. And he's like, hang on, stood exactly where he was standing and threw his right glove over. It's kind of like a landmark type situation. So if we got the chance to go down there to an idea of where we were looking. And then Pat came down with his personal metal detector. And between Trevor and Axel and I, we kind of looked around, dug through lots and lots of snow, and they were blowing snow as we were looking. And then Axel's boss actually came out at one point and helped us dig through the snow some more. And then the following morning, because I want to say about, I don't know, 10 o'clock or so, we had given up at that rate and said, you know what, it's a wash, we'll just figure it out when we get home tomorrow. And the next morning I had woken up to a text from my mom and she said, please call me. And so I called her and she proceeds to say to me, I had a dream last night. They found your ring. Go back to Boyne, take a cup of salt with you. And I laughed at her for that, because I'm like, no way, like, no way. And 30 minutes later, Trevor was walking upstairs from taking some of our belongings down to our car at the hotel. He came in and he said, Boyne just called me and they found your ring. So from the clip that I watched earlier, it sounds like Pat dug quite a bit through some snow. And sure enough, he found my ring in some snow and some dirt.
You know, I get chills the whole way through thinking about you guys really putting your heads together, you know, dropping the glove as a landmark. I think that's brilliant. And then putting your heads together with the employees at Boeing, you know, what would you want Pat to know or those people that helped you?
To top this off, we have chose Boeing as our destination for our wedding in 2027. So to me, it just shows that the people at Boeing are outstanding and they go above and beyond for the people that visit them. Because in my eyes, Pat didn't have to do that for us. You know, he had his own metal detectors. Those were his, those weren't Boeing's from my understanding. So for him to take the time out of his night and day to find my ring and to actually be able to find it is outstanding.
And so now it's made it on your finger and...
It did. He finally got to put it on the next morning when we went over to Boeing Lodge. And I looked at him after she grabbed it and said, is this it? And he said, yes. And I looked at him and said, well, now's the time to do it. You don't have to get down on one knee again, but put it on my finger where it's going to stay. And Trevor's now gained the name of Butterfingers. His facial expression from the video has turned into every meme you can possibly think of, from friends to family to the internet to coworkers. I mean, it's a huge joke at his work now. So it's a story that I'm glad to say is our story to tell.
So
yeah,
this journey, like, do you think it's representative of your relationship at all?
No matter how far, no matter how high, absolutely, because he's my absolute best friend. And I know no matter what through life, the height, the distance, the strength, he is going to be there always. So, yeah, we conquered the fear of height together through this. And
no, we didn't. I'm still afraid.
He is, but he conquered the height and we made it happen.
Do you think Butterfingers is going to stick?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, it is. It's already, yeah.
Trending now.
Sometimes viral stories like Trevor and Danielle's are cute and heartwarming. However, the social media scroll can often just be exhausting. The Dave Glover Show team out of Odyssey Station KMOX in St. Louis is sick of viral theories that they've been seeing online. But they're still going to talk about them. We'll start with the sandwich theory. As Dave Glover explained, it's the theory that one always thinks a sandwich made by someone else is better than one made by themselves. But his team at the Dave Glover Show, yeah, they weren't buying it.
Oh, I completely don't subscribe to that.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. First of all, can I just, with the theories...
You tired of theories?
I'm tired of the theories.
We got way too much time
on
our hands.
The theories are way too annoying. Like, they're all over TikTok, and it's like, people just make things up and go like, it's my theory. I have the running the board on KMOX theory, and my theory is me. It's like, dude, that's not what a theory is. You're just talking.
What you're
dealing
with,
Rach, words are spilling out of your mouth.
What you're dealing with is the exhaustion theory. So.
Oh my gosh. I am exhausted. I'm so tired of reading other people's opinions online. I have to get off of like Twitter and Instagram and seeing all these stupid things people are always posting. I need a break.
Now, you're always... No, that's not true. I started to say something false. To whatever degree you think that Wheeler and I are full of crap because like, oh, when we were your age, blah, blah. But back me up, Wheels. When we were your age, no one had opinions like this.
I completely agree. Yes, no one had opinions like this when I was 18.
Or they did and just didn't have this very, yeah, very easy
didn't
platform
have the means,
no,
yeah,
I
to
really
blast
think,
them out to everybody.
I really think the internet speak is changing the way we think.
Yeah. Well, that I do agree with.
Andrew, haven't you ever thought in terms of like, oh, what if I tweeted this? And then you start to think in terms of the post or of the tweet or like, how would I say this? Because we do it with the show.
It's called the tweeting theory. Yeah.
I know. Oh, my gosh. No, I really think it's like people are changing their habits in the way they speak
because they just, that's just what they see all the mm-hmm. time. It's monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
Look, it's not the end of the world. I am just personally very exhausted by it. And
all the hot takes.
Yeah. And I've been scrolling less. I've been reading books more. It's nice. I just, yeah, the theory thing, dude, that's one that gets under my skin. Because it'll literally be like, I have the Milky Way candy bar theory. And that means if that's at the store, you're always going to blah, blah, blah. Like, stop talking. Stop.
I wish to subscribe to this theory.
That being said, do you agree with the sandwich theory?
No. I don't think that any sandwich made by another person is going to taste better than my sandwich. I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, I'm going to want my sandwich.
There's also a rationale for it. Would you like to hear that?
Sure.
The rationale is that when Andrew makes me a sandwich, I am necessarily surprised by the ingredients or the way he made it. And I tend to attribute more deliciousness to it. Hmm. Whereas if I make it, I know exactly what's in it. And even if I make it the way I like it, I'm a little bored by it.
You know exactly what it's going to taste like before you even taste it.
Yes.
I can't be trusted with sandwiches.
Why not?
Because I will buy like a week's worth of ingredients for sandwiches.
Yeah.
And use them on a single sandwich.
Okay.
I will put like a half a pound of smoked turkey and like 4 slices of cheese on one sandwich and be like, all right, pretty good lunch.
I've got to say, that sounds like a really good sandwich. And speaking of sandwiches, we're closing out the show today with more talk of food from the Adam and Jordana Show team out of Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities. They were inspired by a Philadelphia man who went viral a few years ago for eating an entire rotisserie chicken every day for 40 days. The Adam and Jordana team weighed in with what they would eat for that many days in a row, and they even asked some of their listeners.
What could you eat every day for 40 days? I'm assuming you would
40
not...
days straight.
Yeah.
And you could, you'd get sick of anything.
Correct. So then do you, yeah, I don't know. Do you go for something you already don't
that's
like?
What, I mean, so you that's what I'm saying, it? So you don't ruin it for yourself?
Or something that you can change. I mean, can you say a burger and then have a different burger every day?
Yeah, what kind of variety do you get on it? I don't think I could do a burger every day.
Even if it was like, hey, it's a turkey and Swiss burger today. It's a bacon cheeseburger tomorrow.
You still get sick of it.
Okay.
All right, so let's get some texts and calls on this. 651-461-9226. If you had to eat a food item, and again, it's got to be, it can't be.
It's like a full meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has to be the same.
It's got to be the same.
So like.
Exact same thing.
If it's pizza, it's got to be the same pizza.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah, we can't have variety. And even if you were getting different varieties of pizza, I still think you'd get sick of the pizza.
Yeah, I do too. I think you'd get sick of anything.
But I think you're right. But you know what I think I could do?
Hmm.
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh.
I think if I could eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for 40 days straight, and yes, I'd probably get sick of it, but not to the point that I would swear them off for the rest of my life.
I said an apple. When we used to have an apple tree, in the fall, I would pick a couple of apples every day on my way out.
See, I think that's a cop-out.
Why? That's not a food?
It is, but it's like we should have gone a meal. Like I said, there's too many variables.
All right.
But no, I'll accept it. Okay, you can eat an apple for 40 days in a row.
Thank you for approving
my
choice.
It has to be the same kind of apple, though.
I know. It's a Harrelson off my tree in my driveway. I'd eat one every day.
And here are the answers they got when the Adam and Jordana team fielded responses from listeners.
So let's just go down the line here. Ramen. I love ramen. Oh, good ramen is so good. But I don't know if I could do it for 40 days in a row. I'd get pretty sick of ramen every day. Chobani chocolate flavored yogurt. Love it. Yeah, see, I think yogurt people could easily eat yogurt for 40 days in a row because it's like a habit. I have to have my yogurt every day. Somebody says ground beef. Lots of texts for tacos, and I love tacos. My wife makes tacos almost every day because Ryan, my stepson, I'm covering all my bases. You should see that kid eat tacos. Like, he'll have like 10 on a plate, and it's just like, God, I wish I could do that. Because I could probably, and these are just crispy hard shell tacos, old school, you know, the... What's the brand I'm thinking of? The hard shell taco brand? I think we get Taco Bell taco shells now, but what is like the classic Ortega, like the old Ortega crispy tacos? I could down six of those easily.
Oh,
easy, because they're not that big.
And you can do six right now.
Yes,
making me hungry.
So a lot of people say tacos, but I think you'd get pretty sick of tacos. Diane is called in. Yeah. Hi, Diane. What's the food item for you? And don't say it's an apple.
2 years ago, I started making my own sourdough bread. Oh. I have a piece of it every single day.
Oh.
I used to work in a sushi restaurant, and I'm pretty sure I had a spicy salmon hand roll for lunch way more than 40 days in a row. How about you guys? What food would you pick? And would you want to make it yourself, or would you want to have someone else do it, like that sandwich theory? You can let us know via email at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com. Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup from the Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, Tommy Tucker out of WWL in New Orleans, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis, and The Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO in the Twin Cities. You can listen to and subscribe to these shows and to the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.